Stand, please, as we just take a few moments and read God's word and pray. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Heavenly Father, how clearly in the Scriptures you show us that we're to love one another. Lord, the whole basis of loving you is that in turn we would love one another. And Father, on this occasion in which we meet, may we as God's people take the admonition that you gave so clear in the Gospels: "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another." And Lord, I pray that you would guide us in the moments that we have. You will speak to our hearts, and they will understand as you describe to us this love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. When I was a kid growing up, I remember I used to be called Little Jack. Now, that was because my dad's name was Jack, and people said that I looked like my dad and I acted like my dad. Now, I didn't like that. Because, you know, growing up as a kid, you always want to be your own person. You don't want to be a product of your family. But it is interesting that now as an adult, I look back and I realize what they were saying. Because I've noticed that in families, in all of your families, I noticed that there seems to be a dominant trait that your kids show that, you know, that you're connected. If you would. My dad, for example, my dad was told by many of our neighbors, there's no way that if your kid ever gets separated from you, everybody knows where he goes, okay? Because they just know that connection. And like, you know, like some people, they have a trait. It might be they have blue eyes, or they have small ears, or maybe they have red hair, or maybe they have, you know, some other dominating feature. Or maybe they have this personality trait. Whatever it is, you know, this being like somebody, this inheritance, if you would, or whatever it is, this gene that passed down, you know, sometimes we see that in families and we're connected. Well, in these verses, spiritually we are connected to Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that there is one dominant trait that should be in our life, and that one dominant trait is love. We get that from our Father, because it's through him that every one of us can understand what true love is. I wrote an article, I don't know if you caught it in the newspaper this morning, I wrote an article, "Where Do You Find Love?" And I did that because on Valentine's Day, I don't know why, the newspaper asked me. Many of the holidays, for some reason, they've asked me. Like, I'll get opportunity to write one for Thanksgiving week. That's my week. And Christmas is Christmas week. And I know that Easter comes around. She'll be asking me if I want to do the Easter one. And it seems like, you know, somehow or another, I get in that routine. And so somehow my name came up for this Valentine's week. And so I wrote this week. And I was thinking about that because there's a lot of people that are looking for love, but they're looking for it in all the wrong places. So, for example, if you look for love in yourself, you're going to find yourself unfulfilled. Because, you know, your love and my love is a selfish kind of love, you know. It's always the kind of thing where, you know, I'm trying to fill up me. And I can't, there's no love there in that because I'm never satisfied with that. So looking for love on the inside of us doesn't work real well. But then sometimes people like to look for love outside. They look for it in somebody else. And certainly there's a lot to be said about, you know, God has made man and woman and all that and put them together. And I think that's a wonderful thing. But how many of you understand that even no matter how sincere and loving and intentional a person has toward another person, there's still some tainted sin in that love? How many of you understand that, right? I mean, there's still some of that that's just not, you know, it's not what we wished it was. And it's not always maybe them, it's us oftentimes. And so we realize that love outwardly doesn't work either. And there's a lot of people do that. So that's why they go from spouse to spouse. You know, they'll give this person, and all of a sudden, they're imperfect. Oh, get rid of them, get somebody else. And then they'll do that, and get rid of them, and they get somebody else. And, you know, and they think that's how it works, that if you just get, you know, go from spouse to spouse, somewhere along the way, you're going to get the perfect one. I found out nobody's perfect. So if you're looking for love in somebody, you're going to find failure. So where do I find love then? I look upward. That's where love is. Love is found in God. I mean, no doubt about it, when we read the scriptures and we go through this 1 John 4 passage, I mean, this is one of the most pronounced passages to understand, known am I to love my brother. I'm to love my neighbor. I'm to love others, but I'm also to understand that how I know to do that is that I look to the God that loves me. Now, if I look to myself, I would love someone only if they loved me. Only if they did me right. Only if they treated me the way I wanted them to treat me. And something I think I found out recently, and that is this, that have you ever noticed how that we like people when they are willing to think and agree like me? I mean, that's how it is. We, you know, okay, the reason why I like him is because he thinks just like I do. Or I can convince him to think like I do. And I think that's the reason why sometimes couples have struggles, because, guys, do you realize your wife is never going to think just like you do? She's never going to do that. And ladies, believe me, your husband's never going to think like you do. He's just not going to see things the way you see it. In fact, that's the reason what makes romance so special. It's because we differ in how we see things. But where do we learn then this love? How do we see it? Well, God describes for us what true love is in this passage. If we're told that we're to love one another, then we have to look at it and see it modeled. We have to understand, how does it work, and what does God want me to do with it? I mean, if I'm to love all of you as God loves you, and that's what I'm commanded to do, then what does that look like? How do I do that? And what does God mean that I'm to love others? Now, if I love people like I think I should love them, then it's always going to be tainted or slanted toward me. You know? But God says, no, you love others as Christ loved you. Now, that's a big difference. That's a whole different world. Because I can love based on how I want it. But God says, no, you don't understand. You have to love one another as I loved you. That's why he speaks so much about, in this passage, about this very fact. That we're to love one another, and we see how this works. So he describes it for us. And let's look at these three descriptions. Number one is a product of the new birth. You do realize the world does not have the corner on love. You do realize that the world does not tell us how to love because the world has no concept of what real love is. In fact, their love is like the first two I described. It's wrapped around either self or some person. And we understand as God's people that if we're going to love like God tells us, if we're to love like God intends it to be, if we're to love one another, then we do not look to the world to tell us how to love. So we don't listen to, if you would, how they see love. We want to understand, what does God mean? What does God say love is to be? And here's what he says, it's a product of the new birth. I didn't even know what love is until I became a Christian. Until the day I trusted Christ as Savior. And the reason why is because God is the source of love. I mean, he is all there is in love. And the Bible says here, if you notice in this passage, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of what? God. In other words, he encompasses. He's the completer. He's all that there is in understanding of love. He is for us the total source of love. He encompasses, he completes it. He is the essence of love. He's the dispenser of love. He's the example of love. He's the nature of love. Everything about God is wrapped around that very concept. So for me then, I understand that if I'm going to love, then the source of love goes back to the fact that when I trusted Christ, my mind and my heart was changed into understanding that love is not what I get out of it, it's what God did for me by dying on the cross. And we'll look at that in a minute. But the whole idea is that God is love. It's the nature of God. So the product then of the new birth brings us an understanding of the source of love. So if I look for it on the inside, I'm going to find failure. If I look at it from the outside, I'm going to get confused. Have to look upward because it comes from God. And God says that this love that we understand is wrapped up totally in God himself. But then I want you to notice something else. It is also a work of the Holy Spirit. We're reminded of that fact in Galatians chapter 5 when the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. In other words, God says that the whole fruit of the Spirit working in your life and in my life, and by the way, I notice here the word fruit is not fruits, it's fruit, it's singular. In other words, the idea is that when you become a Christian, when you're a new believer, that the Holy Spirit works in your life to produce all of this and one person. It's not you're segmented that first you love and then you have gentleness, then you have meekness. No, it's all a part of the work of the Holy Spirit, one in your life. And so that fruit begins to develop, and that's where God begins to work. And God's true children will reflect the distinguishing marks of love. That's what the Bible says. So when the Holy Spirit works in my life, he works in such a way that now it's no longer me loving me, it's me loving as Christ says I'm to love. Now, how many of you agree with me that that's going to take some growth? Isn't it? I mean, it's just going to take some growth. Because honestly, I love me a lot. And I have to learn, really, I love me a lot to the place where it's all about me if I'm not careful. But what I have to learn is that when God loves me, that God's saying, look, I'm delivering you from you so you can love as I loved. That's a work of the Holy Spirit. So when I get real selfish, it's the Holy Spirit convicts me. When I start mistreating people, the Holy Spirit convicts me. When I start having things go on in my life that I'm not reflective of that loving person, it's the Holy Spirit that begins to work in my life. so that he can develop the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And how many of you do understand that the way the Holy Spirit works in my life is he's asking us to surrender to him? It's surrender. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I want to surrender, and quite frankly, sometimes I don't. I want to, and sometimes I don't. And when people push my buttons, I don't want to surrender. When someone cuts me off in the traffic, I don't want to surrender. Well, I do, but it's to some other spirit, you know. You guys, are you guys connecting with me tonight? So we talk about loving one another. We're talking about a work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, if he's going to work in our life, and we go back and say, wait a minute, it's a product of the birth. See, we didn't have the Holy Spirit before we became a believer. We had the Holy Spirit convicting us about our need for a Savior, but when that was, when we accepted Christ, now we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, and he's working in our life in such a way that he wants me to be yielding to him so that I can let God work through me and literally love through me. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And when we talk about loving one another, what we're really saying is godly love one another. Not love as you love, it's love as God is love. It's not love as the songs in the world tell us, it's love as God loves. And that's not easy. That's not natural love, that's supernatural. That's how that works. And so God shows us here in this passage that every one of us, if we're going through this another series, we're learning that we forgive one another, that we pray for one another, that we bear each other's burdens, and we do all these things. And the whole idea is that we're showing the commonality, the bottom line of all of this is that we love one another. And you might say, man, I struggle with that. You're in good company. I think we all do. Amen and amen. But that's what we're commanded to do. And that involves a yielding to the Holy Spirit. That involves a work of the Holy Spirit in your life, in my life. So the first description is it's a product of the new birth. But the second description is seen in the fact that it's evidence of spiritual growth. That kind of comes off of the first point. And that's the whole idea. It comes off the first point because it's the evidence of the Holy of growth coming out of the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. So it involves the fact we have to recognize the character of God. God's character. If we're going to look at a model, we have to look at God as our model. The very nature of God is love, and he shows it to his creation. Do you realize that every activity that God ever did or ever will do is centered in his nature of love? He creates in nature. He rules in love. He creates in love. He judges in love. The total expression of his character is love. He died on the cross in love. He healed in love. He gave his life in love. It's all wrapped around love. His character. And so love is the very hallmark of Jesus Christ. And I said earlier, you know, with my dad, everyone sounded like a little Jack. And I considered it an honor that people would say that in some ways as I got older because I thought, you know, I like my dad a lot. I love my dad. And I'm thankful that someone would compliment me that way. But then I got to thinking about that in connection with loving my Heavenly Father. What a compliment it would be if someone says, you know, you're just like those Christians. You know what that means? You're a little Christ, just like the Christ. And I would hope that would mean by saying that, that I have the nature of God in my life. And what do we understand the nature of God is? Love. I would hope that. I believe that's what Jesus meant when he said, by all this shall all men know you're my disciples. You have love one for another. You know why? Because the world doesn't know anything about that. They don't know anything about loving one another. They know a lot about hurting one another, about destroying one another, about trying to get ahead of one another, about being selfish and taking from one another. But for a believer, the nature of God, the character of God, shows us the opposite. And God says here that we see, if we're going to talk about spiritual growth, it's, all right, here's my question. What about our nature? What about our nature? What about our spiritual nature, Christian? Are we showing love one to another? I mean, are we really doing that? So that's what he says. It's the evidence of it. Now, this has struck me. Can I help you? I'm gonna let you see my process of study. Go with me, please. Look at 1 John 4 again. I want you to see this. Because this verse I did not totally understand until just when I started really studying this out more thoroughly, and I've taught this book 10 times at least. Look at what it says in verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, did you notice that? Let me read it one more time and look at it in your Bible, if you would, please. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, what I thought it meant for so long, that was, you know, if you're a person, you could be religious but not be a Christian. In other words, you could be the kind of person that maybe you even go to church or whatever, but if you don't have love in your life, I mean biblical, God-honoring love, it could be the fact that you're not a Christian. But through my prayer and looking at this passage, I don't believe that's what it's teaching at all. Here's what I believe it's teaching. I believe it's teaching the fact that if you and I don't have the love of God in our life, it's not because maybe we're not saved. It's because of the fact that we are not maturing as a Christian. We're not maturing. Basically, you might say it this way, we're still carnal. We're carnal. We're not maturing. We're not growing as a believer. We're not growing like we should. And the idea of a person who really is growing in their walk with God is a person that's going to display, if you would, this kind of love. Now, let me help you to see this. Because God kept showing me a whole bunch of these things. As I was looking at it and saying, Lord, I want to help us to understand this idea of your love. Not my love, your love. And this, I mean, a conversation with God, and God showed me this because here's what I believe. Nearness is likeness. Are you with me? Nearness is likeness. Okay, so if I hang around someone who is carnal, I hang around someone who is not a believer, then what I'm going to find myself doing is I'm going to find myself being like them. So if I spend a lot of time out here in the world, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be worldly, right? So if I go hang around Budweiser, I'm going to become a Bud, okay? All right? But if I hang and get close to God, God's nature is going to begin to influence my life. You say, prove it. I'm glad you asked. Psalm 1, please, in your Bibles. Turn to Psalm 1. As we're turning there, I do want to remind you there is a verse in Scripture, and here's what God says. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw what? Nigh to you. So here's what God says. God says, if you really want this love I'm talking about, if you want to learn to love one another, you need to look at me. And by looking at me, you need to draw close to me. And when you start drawing close to me, I'm going to draw close to you. Nearness is likeness. Look at Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Did you notice here that as you get close to God, you meditate on God, God's beginning to work in your life. Your mind begins to change. You're thinking the way it is. And doesn't Paul say something about that in Romans chapter 12? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. And so if nearness is likeness, and I start hanging around God and get closer to God, look what happens. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. In other words, he's not going to be a flaky Christian. He's not going to just kind of all of a sudden, you know, kind of like, oh, well, I just kind of hang out. Nah, I won't. I'll just quit church. Because he's hanging around God, drawing close to God. God says, I'm going to give him some roots. I'm going to anchor him in the Word of God. He's going to be so strong. The Holy Spirit is going to so work in his life. And I can tell you this, that the work of the Holy Spirit is always going to be on the work of loving others and loving God. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Here's what God says. God says, you want to be godly? You want to learn love? Get close to me. When you get close to me, I'm going to tell you this. There's going to be spiritual growth in your life. And it's going to be evidenced. The evidence of a church that is healthy and that's rock solid is a church where people have grown to the place they can love God and love one another. No doubt. And you say, what is all that wrapped up in? Because the Bible here. See, the Bible, the basis of the Bible, the foundation, Jesus told us this, the foundation of the Bible is to love God and love man. And when we do that, then what we're doing is we're understanding that the closer we get to God, the more we're going to have love in our life. No doubt about it. And a person who is, drawing from God, going away from God, the love of God will not be evidenced in his life. That's what the scripture says. So what God is saying to us is that if we want to know, we're talking about, okay, how do we love somebody? How are we going to love somebody that's unlovely? How are we going to love somebody that doesn't care about our love or doesn't care about us? How are we going to love them? Then God answers that question in 1 John chapter 4 again. He gets back to that. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 4, please. He has an answer for that. How do we do that? Well, he's described for us, number one, that when we look at it, let's go back and look at number one, the product of the new birth is the source of love, and it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Number two, we have the evidence of spiritual growth. It's the character of God. It's revealed by believers in our world. But then there's a third description. It's model for Christian living. Love is the model for Christian living. How does that work? It involves a sacrificial life. This is what we don't like. Notice what God says. Verse number 9, 1 John 4 and verse 9. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. What? He sacrificial. The idea of propitiation here at the end of verse number 10 means to satisfy the wrath of God. Here's what God said. God said that sinners, I love them, and I want them to be forgiven, so I'm sending my son to die for them. People who don't even care about Jesus, people don't want have anything to do with Jesus, people don't even care about God, the Bible, or anything, God said, I'm going to send my son to die for them. How many of you agree with me that's sacrificial? I wouldn't do that. But then again, I have a tainted love. My love's about me. I wouldn't send Nathan to go die for somebody like that. I couldn't do that. But the Bible said that God sent his son to die and to satisfy his wrath for sin. That's what propitiation means. To satisfy his wrath as giving his life sacrificially. So if I'm to look at the model then, that means that love involves a sacrifice. Godly love does. Okay? Everybody has their own seat. What if somebody comes in and sits in your seat and you don't want them to? You know, get out of my seat. Really? I'm not seeing reservations here. Even our ushers have not told us you remove people from the seat. Maybe it's sacrificial, right? How about giving up our parking spot? Everybody has their own parking spot. I kind of look out in the parking lot. By the way, isn't it a blessing to have a final in that parking lot? Amen. I look out there in the parking lot, and I'm kind of looking. I'm saying, yeah, I see that person's car. I know that person. You know, I know all your cars. When you guys get new cars, it really throws me off, okay? So be sure and check in your new car when you get it. It's okay. I just need to know. So I look out there, and, you know, but isn't it interesting? If somebody parks in our spot, boy, that's where I belong. Really? Sacrificial love. Sacrificially give it up. Kept parts of sat in that same seat for 28 years, okay? I think if somebody sat in their seat, I think I would have a heart attack, okay? But think about it. Think about it with me. Sacrificial love means that I'm willing to give up whatever it takes if I'm going to express my love to somebody else. So we say, random act of kindness. Let's find somebody to do something kind for. My wife and I have someone tonight we're going to do something kind for. We've been praying about this week. We're going to go do it. We're going to do it tonight. She doesn't know it's coming. We're going to go do it for her. And by the way, if she comes to church or doesn't come, that's totally up to her. I'm not going to not love her any less because she doesn't come to church. I'm just going to show her that we love her. Okay? That's what Jesus is saying. Sacrificial love is what God says means to love one another. Sacrificing. But they don't love me. They aren't going to respond to me. God says that's how I'm to love. That's how I'm supposed to love. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to go to the world if everyone will believe on me. If everyone will love me, I'll do it. I'll do it, Father. No. The majority of the people said, no, we don't want you. He loved them anyway. I can't understand that. But that's my model. My model is not to look to Jennifer Lopez or somebody out here in the world that, you know, some worldly person. That's not my model. My model is Jesus Christ. Because he says that if we're going to love, we're going to understand agape love. We're going to understand what it means to love. We're going to understand what we really talk about. The model is we look higher than the human. We look to God. It involves sacrificing. But then there's the fullness of life that comes with it. Did you notice that in this same passage, here's what he says. He says, in this, verse 9, was manifest the love of God toward us, that because God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Man, I've looked at that and wondered, what do you mean, live through him? Man, before I became a Christian, I thought I was living. I thought I was living a great life. But it wasn't until I became a Christian that I realized that I was really dead in my trespasses and sins. That living means life comes through him. That's what it is. That's what it's all about. In other words, life is tied up in Jesus. The only fulfilling sacrifice and love that any of us can ever have the greatest pleasure with. He is the ultimate. He's the fullness of life. He's everything. There is no life outside of Jesus Christ. But our world keeps telling us it doesn't get any better than this, guys. Boy, this living. No, that's dying. Dying. Living is what we have tonight in Christ. And by the way, I want everyone to be alive in Christ. So I'm not saying it like we're an exclusive group. I'm saying, man, thank God we have life, and man, I want everyone else to have that same life. Because that's where living is. That's where love is. Fullness of life. And then the Bible goes on to say one more aspect. He's describing this for us. It's the initiator of life. He initiates it. Here's the interesting part about this whole thing of love. You realize that God hunted me down, sought after me, so that I could turn to him, so that he could give me his love. He's the initiator of love. Remember, when my neighbor invited me to church, and I said no to God the first night, and the second night, and the third night of the revival. That's one of those 10-day revivals in those days. We don't know anything about those today, but we had 10-day revivals in those days. There was two Sundays and all the way through to the next week, and it was, you know, just every night. You know, and I told God no several nights because, you know, I was afraid. But he kept hunting me down. I remember during the day I was sitting in school, and I'm supposed to be studying history or math, and I kept having God speak to me. That was the Holy Spirit convicting me. You need God. You need God. And the night that I trusted him as Savior, on October 22nd, my life changed so dramatically because I realized he's the initiator of life. He gave me life. And the test of true love is found there in verse number 10, where he shows us that love and all of that is wrapped up in what he did for me. And because of that model, I understand what the songwriter says best when he says, the cross has a wondrous attraction to me. What's that mean? It means he loved me so much that he's willing to do it for me. Even when I didn't care, he did it anyway. How about you tonight? Church, the one thing that I believe that God really would be honored with is if we could just say, God, help me to grow in the area of loving one another and loving you. Now, I will tell you this. It starts as we love God. As we begin to love God like we should, then we can love others as we should. And something really is the key to that is being near to God, drawing nigh to God. As we draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us. And no doubt about it, as he's drawing us to himself and he draws us, he's going to draw us away from the world. And when he does, our life will begin to really show dramatic change. That's the evidence of spiritual growth. What an amazing thought. 1 John. And you know, have you ever noticed something interesting about 1 John? There's not too many complicated words. I think propitiation is a big word. It's complicated. But for the most part, the whole book of 1 John It's just so simple words, but they're so profound in what they mean. Don't overlook, when you read 1 John, the words that he's saying, because they're very profound. And by the way, 1 John is known as the apostle John is known as the beloved apostle. He's the one that knew and understood this love that we're talking about. May God help us to learn to love one another. Is it a challenge? Yep. It's a challenge. You know why? We're just not perfect. So is it everyday occurrence? Every day. Every day. But I want to draw closer to him so that he can show me how to love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,